Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events. This WBEZ podcast is supported by Hacia, whose Executive Fellows Program provides Black and Latinx business owners with real-world tools and strategies needed to master fundamental management concepts related to company stability and growth. Registrants learn through one-on-one executive coaching sessions with subject matter experts in the areas of finance, business development, operations, and legal. More info at haciaworks.org.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. People facing deportation in Cook County now have access to legal counsel from the Public Defender's Office. That's because the county is rolling out its new immigration unit. Advocates say it's part of a larger strategy for universal representation, a day when everyone facing deportation has an attorney in court. Joining us now to discuss is Cook County Commissioner Alma Anaya. Commissioner, welcome to Reset.
Thank you so much for having me, Sasha.
Also with us is Ere Rendon, Vice President of Immigrant Justice at the Resurrection Project. Ere, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
And Guadalupe Perez is a staff attorney with the Public Defender's new immigration unit. Lupe, thank you for joining.
Thank you for having me.
So you all just held a press conference downtown to discuss this issue. So thank you so much, first of all, for rushing over to Navy Pier to join me here in studio. But I'll turn to you first, Lupe. Can you talk to us more about this new law and what it essentially allows your immigration unit to do now?
Yes. So the immigration unit pilot is a historic initiative for the first time indigent non-citizens facing removal proceedings in the federal immigration court have the possibility of obtaining legal representation with the Cook County Public Defender's Office. So we are already accepting cases and have represented people in front of the Chicago Immigration Court.
So you've already started. How many cases so far?
So we've accepted a little bit over a dozen cases in the first 2 months that the unit has existed.
And how is this unit staffed?
So far, we have three attorneys and one paralegal.
Okay. And Commissioner, you spoke today at the press conference. What was the atmosphere like?
It was excitement. I think this has been a project many years in its making. We were talking about maybe three more. Cook County hadn't had that, right? We're the biggest county now that is going to be able to represent individuals in immigration court. And that is such a historic moment, just like Lupe highlighted.
Is it surprising that it's taken a while to get here?
To some extent it is, but I think it has been a lot of advocacy throughout the years. I think there have been a lot of people that have really built up to this moment, and that's why we were today celebrating, and we're obviously joining a lot of our advocates in celebration and in a lot of joy.
Yeah, and I'm going to ask you to help us back up a little bit, right? Your organization, the Resurrection Project, has been working on this issue for several years now, right? Mm-hmm. So how did this all start?
Yeah, so for a while, neither the city nor the state nor the county were investing in making sure that immigrants had representation, whether it be through deportation or because they're able to adjust their status or U visas. So we've been working to make sure that all three levels of government recognize the fact that we're here, that we pay our taxes as well, and that due process is also important for immigrants. So a few years ago, we started to focus on Cook County itself and started the Defenders for All Coalition, which is made up of more than 40 organizations across the state that's pushing for making sure that we have the county also responding to the need. Mm-hmm. And we recognize that the public defenders are the best set up to do this because it should be public to protect your due process. And because they're going to be able to, get large and be able to get to that goal of universal representation.
Yeah. Lupe, the governor signed a pair of bills last year to provide legal counsel and fund public information campaigns so that immigrants know their rights. Can you tell us more about that?
Do you want...
I think I'll pass this on to Edison, since she has been working on.
Yeah. So last year we were able to pass a bill that established a jurisdiction for Cook County Public Defenders to be able to do this. It was Defenders for All, carried by Representative Gon Gershowitz and Senator Aquino. Representative Gon Gershowitz also passed a bill that established Know Your Rights education at all levels of government agencies. So now if you go into any agency, you should know what your rights are, what mm-hmm. you're entitled to as an immigrant. and what you cannot and can, right, apply for and how it will affect you. There's been also funding from the state called Access to Justice, which is a program that allows nonprofits like ours or other 60 agencies across the state to be able to receive funding for the first time to be able to represent immigrants in detention and, wow. and just immigrants generally in any kind of immigration case.
That's incredible. Commissioner, why would you say programs like this are necessary here in Cook County?
Plain and simple, they change lives and they protect our immigrant population. For a very long time, Cook County has been at the forefront of protecting immigrants, and so has the state. We've really stepped up and really provided support systems for our immigrants, and I think that this program is another extension of that. It's definitely another way of saying we have immigrants here, we love our immigrants, we're going to protect our immigrants, mm-hmm. and we're going to be able to put our resources and funding behind that. We're not just saying we're a sanctuary, we're proving it by ensuring that the resources are getting to our communities.
What are you hearing from residents?
They're excited. I think, again, this is a moment, a pivotal moment where we're seeing that the different levels of government are recognizing. And obviously, during the pandemic, our immigrant population really suffered. They weren't able to get resources from the federal government. They were excluded from a lot of resources. And this is a way of us saying we're going to, again, protect our immigrants and we're going to continue to put the resources behind that. And I think our constituents, I represent the biggest concentration of immigrants in the whole county. And I hear oftentimes how our constituents feel ignored. And this is a way of, again, recommitting to our communities yeah. about our protections.
Lupe, what types of cases are you able to take on?
So right now we are prioritizing those cases within which individuals are facing removal proceedings in front of the Chicago Immigration Court. And we take any type of cases in whichever form of relief that they may have. Our requirements are that they do not have the resources to hire a private attorney and that they have any ties to Cook County, whether that's residency, employment, or whether they are current or past clients of the Cook County Public Defender's Office. But we're also part of this initiative mm-hmm. with the Midwest Immigrant Defenders Alliance, which opens up potential representation to even a broader class of immigrants. So we'll be observing court once a week, and anyone who has an initial master calendar hearing and who does not have representation will have the option.
Do you have to filter it anymore? Like, do you have to still decide what cases to take on? Because, you know, with three attorneys, you can't serve everybody.
Yes, that's exactly right. But this is why we're collaborating with other legal aid organizations mm-hmm. so that we have increased capacity.
And how long do these cases usually take to adjudicate?
It can vary. Sometimes some cases take a couple of months. Sometimes they take longer to 6 months. It really depends on what the individual qualifies for, what they want to do in their case, and the family as well. Oftentimes, the people in these proceedings are the primary breadwinners, and their families suffer mm-hmm. economic and emotional repercussions for having their loved one detained.
Yeah. And talk to us about the biggest barriers that you've seen when it comes to people trying to seek counsel in these removal procedures.
Yeah. Well, there's several barriers. One is that usually it's the breadwinner who's detained, and so all of a sudden you don't have any funds to be able to pay. And private attorneys probably start around $5,000 to represent you, and you're going to see a lot more in the $7,000 to $10,000 range to get a private attorney. On top of the fact that, if people get bonds, you do have to pay 100% of your bond, and the minimum bond is $1,500, although things tend to range between $5,000 to $10,000 as well. And so definitely paying is the largest. And the other is you're detained, right? You don't really have access to be walking around or calling a bunch of attorneys and trying to find one. Your family also may not speak English maybe they haven't been here as long as you have. And so like finding an attorney is very challenging. There's also a limited amount of attorneys. So there's several barriers, and hopefully removing the fact that you no longer have to pay, as well as the fact that they're physically going into the court and saying, you don't have an attorney, we're here to represent you if you want.
Yeah. I want your help to help us underscore this, the importance overall for undocumented immigrants to have access to legal representation in court. Just for the person who's listening right now who's still not making the connection as to why this is such a big deal. Because this is a big deal.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, one, the accomplishment is huge. And also, you know, we in our Constitution, right, it's due process is protected. You are innocent until you're proven guilty. You should have representation. You should be able to talk to your attorney about what are the options. Should I, you know, some folks do choose to go back to their home country if that's the best option for them. There's many times where they can't because they fled persecution. And so making sure that an attorney knows that they're able to represent you in a potential asylum case is massive. You know, and in some studies have shown that in 2012, of all of the people that were unrepresented, only 5% won their cases.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, and you're two times more likely to win your case if you have representation. So it's protecting due process, and it's making sure that folks aren't going to be sent back to a place where they may, one, probably no longer have ties, and then two, may face a life-threatening situation.
Yeah, well, picking up off of those statistics, I'm looking at you, Lupe. Talk to us more about how having an attorney really impacts the outcome of these deportation cases.
Yes. So individuals who are in removal proceedings, they are in front of an immigration judge. And across from them is a government attorney who has years of experience, who has the law behind them, knowledge of the law, access to documents. And you're asking an individual to put forward a case who does not speak the language, who does not have the resource, who does not have access to evidence while they are detained.
Sounds like it could be intimidating.
Exactly. And add on top of that, if they have family in the United States, the emotional toll it takes to move forward while knowing that your family is suffering because you are detained.
Commissioner, I hear that this is also personal for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm an immigrant. I was undocumented. And I see families, not only mine, but others go through this. I've been in immigration court, not only to do research on, of course, this project, but like just for personal reasons. And I think that it is a very daunting task to ask individuals who may not understand the complexity of immigration law, especially because it's ever evolving in so many ways, to ask them to represent themselves. And I think I talk about, you know, me being in court and oftentimes in San Francisco, where I got to actually see the impact of having someone really backing an individual, really reassuring and really having that knowledge that Lupe is referring to. And I think it's extremely important for us to do something as a government entity to be able to protect our constituents, be able to protect the individuals that live here in Cook County. And I guess I see it not only reflected in my own personal life, but with the people that I represent.
Yeah. And how does, as the commissioner mentions San Francisco, I wonder how Cook County's immigration unit compares to similar programs that you've seen in other major cities across the country?
Yeah, so this is, you know, we have the potential of becoming the largest because Cook County is actually the largest jurisdiction right now that is going to have this unit. New York has a similar project, but New York's this public defender set up differently because it's all private public defenders. And then San Francisco, you know, it only took 7 attorneys for them to get to universal representation. So it's smaller there, but we are able to, when you kind of see that number, that is not something that seems like out of the world, right, that we can reach there. So the other difference as well is that the public defenders and other organizations are helping establish more organizations to do this work. So it will become organizations like National Immigrant Justice Center, the Resurrection Project, Immigration Project will also be starting up immigration units and being able to work hand in hand with the public defender's office. So if there's any cases that some of us can't take for various reasons, we'll have somebody else to refer to.
Oh, that's great. Lupe, do you have any sense of how large your staff would have to be to fully serve the immigrant population in this county?
I think that's something we're going to continue assessing this first year as we see, as we learn, as we learn how many people are in custody, how many people need representation. So we're really taking this first year to be intentional and responsible with the cases that we take so that we can best leverage our resources.
Commissioner, you led the funding efforts for this unit pilot. So talk to us about the costs of a program like this, getting it up and running?
Yeah, so I mean, we started with an ask of, I think, somewhere around 200,000 at the beginning. We got up to 350.
Wow.
And, you know, we had, again, it's a partnership with private as well. There's a lot of entities, organizations that see the need. And I think that that is the biggest hope that we have and the biggest, goal that we're going to have, not only as advocates, but also as people that are ensuring that this really gets to everyone, so that we do have universal representation. And I think as we continue to see the success, because we know for a fact we're going to see the success, we know that the statistics are there, that if you have an attorney, the outcomes are better. There will be less family separation in Cook County because we have this program in place. So as we start seeing the success, we know we're going to be able to build it up. And we know we're going to continue to shoot for universal representation, not only here, but expanding it throughout the remainder of the 49 states.
So was the response positive almost immediately, or were there some challenges there?
You know, I'm very blessed to have great colleagues on the Cook County Board of Commissioners. We had some great allies like Commissioner Johnson that really jumped on and supported us. And we had a lot of other members that we, you know, once we actually presented what it was and the impact there, I mean, we had a unanimous vote. This means that we are, again, looking at protecting our immigrant population, and we're ensuring that we need to continue to advocate for that. And again, the Cook County Board President, Tony Preckwinkle, was on board, and our colleagues were as well. Obviously, it's always a challenge when we try to expand beyond Cook County, but we're very hopeful that the advocates will continue to show that this is important and this is going to change lives.
So you're having some good conversations then with your colleagues at the county and state levels?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, we were the bills you mentioned at the state level were also championed, we didn't get a lot of pushback. Thankfully, there was a lot of understanding. And, you know, you asked me earlier, is it surprising that it took this long? And I think some of our legislators thought that too, right? Like, wait, this isn't happening already? So I think it's very
right.
Right.
So you would think this was already in place.
So I think I'm very hopeful about that. And again, we're going to continue to advocate. We're going to continue to showcase the success stories because there's going to be a lot of them. We're very hopeful on that.
You've teased a little bit earlier, Ede, but tell us more about what else the Resurrection Project is going to be working on. What can we look forward to?
We are going to continue to advocate to make sure that the immigration unit continues to grow.
She's like, we're working on this.
Yeah. No, we're also members of the Healthy Illinois campaign, which is expanding health care for undocumented immigrants in Illinois. And, we were the first state to do so. And then some other work is we also have an immigration clinic. And so we take cases and see folks that need to adjust their status or apply for DACA or renew their DACA. Right now, my organization is representing me and my DACA renewal. And then also working with making sure that the state continues to fund programs like Illinois Access to Justice and that the city continues to fund programs. The city was the first one to do so with the Chicago Legal Protection Fund. And so we want all of those to be able to grow because the need for representing immigrants is greater than what we have right now.
I mean, you mentioned your own DACA case is being worked on right now. So there's a personal stake in there for you too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm undocumented. I've had DACA since 2012. My dad was, deported when I was little. He came back and to be able to be with us. And so, I've always known that if my dad is ever detained, I'm not sure what his options are, but I want to have an attorney to be able to talk to him and to talk to me and counsel us.
Yeah. I'm going to give you the final word, Lupe. No pressure. Tell us where folks can go to learn more about immigration representation here in Cook County.
Yes. So we're on the Cook County Public Defender's website, and all of our information is available there on how to contact us, phone number, email, and then also our hours for our hotline.
That is Guadalupe Perez. She's a staff attorney with the Public Defender's new immigration unit. Cook County Commissioner Alma Anaya and Ede Rendon, Vice President of Immigrant Justice at the Resurrection Project. Thank you all for joining us. That's it for today's Reset. For more conversations about Chicago politics, news, and entertainment, subscribe to this podcast. And please give us a rating. It helps other listeners find us. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening, and you can catch us back here tomorrow.
Have you ever wondered why anyone drinks Malort? Or if there are actually lobsters in the Chicago River? Then listen to the Curious City podcast, where we answer all your questions about Chicago and the region. WBEZ's Curious City is part of the NPR network and available wherever you find your podcasts.